And we're holding on Lamed Zayin Amud Bey, four lines from the bottom. We've been talking all this time about the business of Heter Mitzdarif La'Issur that Rabbi Akiva said in the Mishnah, that, for example, even if a Nazir takes bread and soaks it in wine and eats a kazayas of it, even though only part of the kazayas is made up of wine, nevertheless he's going to be chayav malchus. And we were discussing the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan about that, that in fact that is what Rabbi Akiva holds, that it's hetzim mitzdarif le'isur. We discussed Abaya brings up the possibility maybe it's not that, but rather tam ke'ikr, that we would say it's more a matter of that the flavor is considered like the actual substance of the thing itself. So we concluded that you have the different opinions about that. First of all, you have the Chachamim who don't hold of the, we have, ultimately we said, you have the Chachamim don't hold of the concept of Heter Mitzdarif La'Issur at all. They would say that you never have that concept. Rabbi Akiva says you have it by Nozir and by Chatas, and it's limited only to those. Or in the end, we said actually that even the Chachamim might agree that it applies by Chatas. If a Chatas touches a different carbon, then that other carbon gains the status of a Chatas to a certain extent because if it absorbed from it, then there you have Heter Mitzdarif La'Issur. But other than that, we said Tam Ke'ikr, that in general, in Yisurei Torah, we said that the taste of something is considered like the substance of it, which is relevant as far as Basa B'Cholav and Orla and various other things. Anyway, so continuing that subject, the Gemara says, Omalei Rav Ashi L'Rav Kahana, Ela HaDetanya. Now, what about this, though? We learned in a Braisa that the Pasuk says, Mikoyla She'yosim Gefen Ayayin, when you have anything that's made from the grapevine, and from that, Limid Ali Suri Nozer Shein Mitztayfim Zeim Zeh. And from that, we learn that the Yisurim of a Nozer combine with one another, meaning, in other words, that, so we said so far, for example, a Nozer is also to eat grapes, raisins, grape seeds, grape peels. So if he were to eat a part of a kazayas of one and part of a kazayas of another, then he would be chayev because the total amount of the kazayas was what he was also. The question is, Rav Ashi asks, L'Rav Akiva, now according to Rav Akiva, what do we need that limud? Hashti yeshlema hetem etzadaf le'isr. If according to Rav Akiva was saying that he holds that even something that's completely mutter can combine together with the isser. So he's saying that bread can combine together with wine to create a kazayas that then a nozer would be chayav malchus for. Isser le'isser mibaya. Would we need to say that he would hold that an isser combines together with another isser when both of them, for example, let's say, so he combines together some grapes and some grape seed, let's say, that it should combine together and make him chayev? Of course. What's the chiddush? And the answer is Amalei. So Rav Kahana answers him heter le'isser bevas achas. The difference is that when we talk about heter, when we talk about heter combining together with isser, that would only be if you ate them bevas achas. Now we talked about the other day what the definition of heter mitzdarif le'isser is. We said according to Rashi, it can even be that you eat them; they're not even mixed at all, but you're eating them one after the other. So now when we say over here bevasachas, it would have to mean that they're all eaten b'chadei achilas pras. So you ate a half kazayas of heter and a half kazayas of isser. So for example, in Rabbi Akiva's case, you ate, let's say, half a kazayas of bread and ate half a kazayas of grapes. So they don't necessarily have to be mixed, but they do have to be one right after the other. According to the Baal HaMor, that we said heter mitzdarif le'isser applies when the heter is visible, when the heter and the isser are both visible, neither one is absorbed into the other, or neither one is dissolved into the other, or whatever. So then the point would be, it would literally be bevasachas, they're in a mixture, but you can tell what's what in the mixture. Anyway, so that would be heter mitzdarif le'isser. Isser le'isser, afilu b'zeh hazeh. But when you talk about isser combining with isser, then it would be even b'zeh hazeh, then it would even be one after the other, as long as they're all b'chdei achilas pras. Rather than according to Rashi's definition of heter mitzdarif le'isser, then we would have to say that it would mean he ate bread, and immediately after it, he ate the grapes, but half a kazayas of each, but not that they were mixed together at all, because Rashi doesn't require that. So that's the difference then. So Rabbi Akiva would say Issur le'Issur, of course, you have that, but that would apply even if it's Bezeach or Zeh. But the special thing that Rabbi Akiva holds of Heter Mitzdarif le'Issur, that is going to apply only if you ate them Bevasachas, however we define Bevasachas for that purpose. Okay, the Gemara asks Rav Shimon. Now, what about according to Rav Shimon, de less light siruf? Rav Shimon does not hold that you need siruf at all, because as we've learned before, Rav Shimon holds that when it comes to isurei achila, when it comes to anything the Torah says is also to eat, you don't actually need a kezias in order for a person to be chayev. All you need is a kezias, he holds, in order to be chayev a korban. But to be chayev malchus, he holds a person would be chayev even if he ate less than that. So then, according to that, Mikoyla Shayosa my Dorishbe. Well then what is he doushing in this case from the words Mikoyla Shayosa? Which we just said from that we learn that Isser is Mitzarev to Isser. So according to him, it's not necessary. You're not talking about bringing a korban, because you know the person doesn't bring a korban for violating his nazirus by drinking wine. He just gets malchus. At the end, of course, he's bringing korbanus for nazirus, but that's neither here nor there. That has nothing to do with him eating wine, with him drinking wine or eating grapes or what have you, whether he did that or not. So according to Reb Shimon, what would we be needing that drasha for? The answer is amalach. The answer is, Reb Shimon will tell you, Ahumi Boile, that he uses that for a different drasha, La'olamein and Nazir, actually Yazu Mikolan. That we learned in the first perek. Suppose a person says, for example, I'm a Nazir only from wine, or I'm a Nazir only from haircuts. So since wine and haircuts are things that are also to a Nazir, so we say then that he really is a Nazir and from everything, and he can't just say, I meant to make a neder from only the one thing. Now, we said Reb Shimon disagreed with that. He said that no, a person, if he's going to start mentioning the Isurim of a Nazir, he would have to mention all of them, and otherwise he's only a Nazir from the specific ones that he mentioned. Well then, Reb Shimon is learning that from these words, Mekoyla Shayasa, so according to him, that's what you're learning from the Derasha, the Chachamim, who disagreed with this concept. They say instead that you're learning from it that Isur Mitzaref L'Isur. Tosfos, by the way, points out that yesterday we talked about geulah ode gechavim, about pots that have absorbed tray for food. And Reb Shimon is one of the ones who holds that it's only when it's gedera bas yoma, only when the pot has been used within the last 24 hours. So the question would be, what is Reb Shimon? So Tosfos asks, what is Reb Shimon using mishras for? He doesn't need it for tziruf. Tam ke'ikru, he can learn from Geula over to Gechavim. So what does he use Mishras for? And the answer is, Tosfos says, okay, that we could say, like we said in the Gemara yesterday, that maybe still even within 24 hours, the taste already starts getting pogum, and nevertheless, the Torah is assering it, and therefore we can say that it's a chiddush. Then Tosfos says that actually that even Reb Shimon would agree that when the Isser is not be'ein, when it's mixed into something else, then Reb Shimon is going to agree that you need a minimum amount. So you still have a case where he needs tziruf, and so you could say therefore that. So he can't completely learn from Geulah over to Gechavim, because there you have there the Isser is not really be'ein. Okay. New discussion. We learned in the Mishnah, we had a few different opinions in the Mishnah, how much a Nazir has to eat or drink in order to be, of grapes or wine, in order to be chayev. So first we said the Mishnah had said that only if he eats a kezias of grapes. Then we said Mishnah Rishona said that only if he drinks a revius of wine. And Rabbi Akiva says that that even if he soaks bread in wine and there's a kezias, then he's chayev. So Tosfos on Amud Beis talks about, and we talked about this in the Mishnah, Tosfos talks about there's one way of learning the Mishnah is that the Tanakama means that the amount would be a kezias, whether it's eating or drinking. And then Mishnah Rishona would say that no, the shiur for both eating and drinking is a revius, and then we'd go back to Rabbi Akiva, which Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos on Amud Beis has several problems with that. Among them, why would the Mishnah be interrupting in the middle of the the Mishnah usually you have when there's a Mishnah Rishona and Mishnah Achrona, you have them in that order. You have first the Mishnah Rishona, then Mishnah Achrona, that later on the Chachamim decided differently. Here you seem to have the Mishnah Achrona first and then the Mishnah Rishona, and then you're going to back to Rabbi Akiva, who's also Mishnah Achrona. So because of that and several other problems, Tosfos has a different understanding of it, that according to the Tanakhama, the amount that a person is chayav for eating is a kezias, but drinking would be a revius. Then Mishnah Rishona says that both of them would be a revius. And then Rabbi Akiva comes and says that there's a difference between that the that the that uh, So Rabbi Akiva would be saying that. So actually, what Tosfos says is that when it says if he eats a kezias of grapes, everybody would agree with that. Everybody would agree that eating is a kezias. Now you have a machlokas. Mishnah Rishonah would say that drinking is a revius, and Rabbi Akiva says that drinking is also a kezias. So according to that, there wouldn't be three opinions in the Mishnah, but rather only two. There'd be first the Mishnah is saying a general statement as far as eating, which everybody agrees with, and then you have Mishnah Rishona and Rabbi Akiva that are arguing about the amount for drinking. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. So now let's talk about that in connection with it. We know there's many cases in Halacha where we have a shear of a revius. So now the Gemara is going to get into that. So the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Elazar, Eser Revi is saying, there are 10 cases in Halacha where you have a din that involves drinking a revius. The Nokit Rav Kahana Biyodei, so Rav Kahana took in his hand, meaning he made a simen in order to help remember them, Chomesh Sumakta V'Chomesh Chivauta. Five of them involve red liquids, such as blood or wine, and five of them involve white liquids, such as water. So let's go through them. Chomesh Sumakta. The five red ones are, number one, Nozir. First, he's going to give the short version, the key words for each one, and then we're going to explain each one. Nozir, Va'osa Pesach, Shahuru, B'mikdash, Umesu. It makes a sentence, actually. A Nozir, and somebody who was making a Korban Pesach, that gave a Hurrah, that gave a Psak Din in the Bes Mikdash, and then they died. So that way it's a sentence, that way it helps you remember it, but each of those is a key word for one of the five cases where you have a shear involving a revius of some kind of red liquid. So the first one is Nozir is revius Yayin LeNozir, is that if a Nozir drinks a revius of wine, then he's Chayev. So that would be again. That would be according to Tosfos's first explanation. Then that would be according to the Mishnah Rishona. According to Tosfos's both explanations. Again, in their first explanation, they're saying that the Mishnah Rishona. Well, yeah, in their first explanation, they're saying that the Tanakhama of the Mishnah, which is the Mishnah Achrona, says that both eating and drinking a person is chayav for only a kezias. And now Rabbi Lozo's thing, though, where he says that drinking would be revius, would follow Mishnah Rishona. According to Tosfos' second explanation, both Mishnah Rishona and Mishnah Achrona would agree on that the amount for drinking is, they would still both disagree. The first Tana would be saying, well, the first Tana would just be saying that eating is a kezias, and then within that you have the Mishnah Achrona and Rabbi Akiva, Mishnah Rishona rather, and Rabbi Akiva disagreeing what about drinking is a kezias, so Rabbi Akiva says a revius. So Rabbi Lozer's revius of wine over here is necessarily then not going to be according to Rabbi Akiva. It would be according to Mishnah Rishona. So that's the first one. So Revius Yain Lenozer. Oisa Pesach. What's the one about making Pesach? De Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel. Arba Koises Halalu. Tzorach Sheheben Kedei Revius. The four koises that you drink on Pesach night have to have between all of them a revius, meaning they used to dilute their wine in those times. It was very, very syrupy, very strong, whatever it was exactly. So they used to generally dilute it three parts water to one part wine. So therefore, if you had a quarter of a revius of wine and you diluted it with three parts of water, then you'd have a revius, and then four such cups, four revius cups, makes up the amount, the total amount that you need for the Seder. So that's Oisa Pesach. That helps you remember that concept of a revius for each of the Dalad Koises. The Keren Oda points out, Oisa Pesach doesn't just mean the Dalad Koises. You also have the same thing by Kiddush and Avdala, for example. So it means anytime you have a Koistra Bracha. So you need a total of a revius, and you accomplish that. In the case of the Dalad Koises, you accomplish that by starting with a revius of raw wine and then diluting it with three times as much water, and therefore you end up with four revius, one revius per kois. The term Nozir v'Oisa Pesach, by the way, you have that expression in a few places in Shas in terms of certain halachas of Tumah V'Tahara that we're going to talk about later on in the Masechta as far as Beis HaPras and other things. So therefore, here also Rav Kahana found it useful to use that well-known phrase, Nozir v'Oisa Pesach, over here in his simen. Okay, so those are the first two. Shahuru, the third word of a simen was Shahuru, that they gave a psak din. So that reminds us, Shosur v'Yis Yayin al Yoda. That if a person drank a revius or more of wine, he's not allowed to paskin halacha. We learn that because the Torah tells us the kohenim are not allowed to drink wine before they come into the Beis Mikdash to do the avodah. That's going to be the fourth one in the thing b'mikdash. And also the pasuk says, "Olahodas es b'nei Yisrael," to teach b'nei Yisrael, and that means that when you when you're lahoris, when you're paskening, when you're teaching and paskening, psakalacha, you can't have drunk a revius of wine. The fourth one, b'mikdash, shasir revius yain, v'nichnas l'mikdash, chayav misa. That if a person drinks, if a kohen drinks a revius of wine and goes into the bais mikdash, then he's going to be chayav misa. Okay, you have a machloikas rishonim, whether it just means to go into the bais mikdash or whether it actually means to do the avoda. But whatever the case, the point is that we have something involving the bais mikdash, involving a revius of a red liquid, which is wine. And the fifth one, misa. The fifth one, umesu, the fifth word in Rav Kahana's Simon, the word umesu, and they died. That reminds us, Tanya, we learn in a braisa, minayim l'revius dam sheyotze mishnei mesim shimetama ba'oil. How do we know that a revius of blood that came out of two mesim, so you have two dead bodies over there, and some blood comes out of one, and some comes out of another one. Now, altogether, the minimum amount of blood that's matame, we're going to learn about this, and then we're going to learn about this in some detail in the next parak. The minimum amount of blood that is matame is a revius. The Gemara mentions elsewhere, because a revius is the absolute minimum of blood that a person could live with. A little hard to imagine how that is. I mean, a full-grown person would obviously need a lot more of a revius of blood in them, otherwise they die of shock. Maybe one possibility is we're talking about like the least developed baby that's born that would be viable might be able to get by with only a revius of blood. Anyway, in his whole body. Anyway, whatever the case, that's how it is. The halacha is that a revius of blood is the minimum amount to be metame. So now, how do you know if that revius came from two different mesim, part of the revius from one, part from the other, that it's metame? So that, shi metame ba'oil, that amount of blood is metame, where if it's under the same oihel, or if a person overshadows it, and so forth. In other words, it's metame, just like any piece of a mess, and we're going to talk about that in more detail in the next parak. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "I'll call nafshois meis lo yavoi." The pasuk says about Kohen Gadol that he should not come into any place where there are nafshois meis, the souls of dead body, people that are dead. So the fact that it says nafshois in the plural means that, the blood is the nefesh, ki adam hu nefesh. So therefore, nafshois implies that even if you have two mesim, as long as you have a total of a revius that came out from between the two of them, then that's enough to be matamahim. And the Torah is saying that a Kohen Gadol is not supposed to go into such a place. So those are the five. So those are the five red liquids. Those are the five dinim involving a revius of red liquids. Next, v'chamash chivarta. Next, you have so four of them were wine. One of them was blood. Now v'chamash chivarta. Now you have the five dinim that involve white liquids. So number one, and the simon for them is chalas nazir umetzerda shenifsalu b'shabbes. The five keywords, the challah of a nazir and a mitzvah that became posel on Shabbos. Again, those are key words. They make up a sentence, and they'll help us remember the five dinim that involve a revius of that involve a revius of white or off white liquids such as water or oil or whatever. So they are as follows. So chalas is revius shemen l'chalas nazir, is revius shemen l'chala. You have a revius of oil used for each one of the chala. Revius shemen l'chala. So that means we're talking about the chalas of a toida. When a person brings a korban toida, he brings with it 40 loaves of bread, three types of matzah, and one type of chometz. So now what he does is he brings along with it a half a log of oil, a half a log being two revius, and he takes half of it, he uses, so you have the three kinds that he's bringing, or we're going to talk about this later on in the perek, or he brings chalois, which are thick loaves, rikikin, which are thin wafers, and revucha, which is loaves that are where the dough is fried before it's baked, and you add extra oil to them. So now he takes this half a lug, he uses half of it, so one revius of it he uses for the rikikin and the chalas together. He mixes that with the water to knead them, and the other half he uses for the revucha. So that helps us remember that you have a revius of wine for the chala of for the chalas of a toida. And nazir is revius shemen l'nazir. The same way, when the nazir brings his karbonis, which we're going to talk about later on in the perek, then he brings with them 20 loaves of bread, of which 10 are chalas and 10 are rikikin. So again, he brings a revius of oil. And they put a revius of oil into the chalas and the rekikin altogether. So that's the second revius. The third one is metzora, is revius mayim lemetzora. The first stage of a metzora's tara is what it describes at the beginning of Parshas Metzora, where the kohen takes two birds and a container full of water and eitz erez and ezev and shni telas, and he shechts one of the birds and dips all the other things into the mixture of water and blood and so on and so forth. So what's the amount of water that you need for that ritual is a revius of water. Tosfos brings from Gemara and Sota that explains that you need enough water. You need to have it. Shouldn't be too much water. You need it to be enough water that the blood of the bird will be visible in it. And for that, you need a revius. Any more than that, and the blood of a bird, which is very small, would be washed out in it. So that's the fourth one. The fifth one is that was the third one. The fourth one, shenifsalu. The fourth one is the word shenifsalu reminds us to Tanan. We learn in a Mishnah, Oshar kolamashkin tmein poslan esagvia berevius, that the Mishnah describes over there that there are various things that if a person eats tamei foods or drinks tamei liquids, then midaraisa is tahar, because midaraisa, eating and drinking, won't make him tamei unless he actually, even if he touches the food, whatever food can't make a person tamei. Midrabanan, if a person eats or drinks food that's tamei, then he becomes tamei and he can't eat truma until he dips in a mikveh. So the Mishnah mentions over there that other kinds of mashkin tmei, and besides for certain other ones, so we said they all combine together. Poisonous like via berevius, they passel a person from eating truma if he drank a revius of a total of them. And he'd have to go to the mikveh. So it's all Gzeiras Chachamim. It's one of the Shmona Asadava, one of the famous 18 Gzeiras that Beis Shammai outvoted Beis Hillel and made these Gzeiras. So they are also revius of these Tomei liquids, even all combined, is enough to make a person Tomei. And the fifth one, B'Shabbos, the fifth word of the key phrase that Rav Kahana used was B'Shabbos. That reminds us to Tanan, as we learn in a Mishnah in Shabbos, Ushar Kalamashkin Mirevius, that all other liquids, besides there's a few liquids mentioned in the Mishnah over there that have different shiurim, in general, you have anything that a person carries on Shabbos, there's a minimum shiur that he's going to be chayav for, because the idea is that in general, most people don't consider less than a certain amount to be significant. So you need a minimum amount of each of these items in order to be chayav for carrying on Shabbos. In the case of, so it mentions over there, milk has a special shear, water has a special shear, a couple of others. But other than that, most other liquids, berevius, than the shear that a person is chayav, chatos, or what have you, for carrying them on Shabbos, is a revius, ushar kol ha-shofchem berevius. And also the Mishnah mentions all waste water, dirty water, or whatever, also the minimum amount that a person would be chayav for carrying on Shabbos, is a revius. So those two go together. So the point is, so there we have five dinim involving red liquids, wine and blood, and five dinim involving white or whitish liquids, water or oil, and all of them involve a revius. So that's what Rabbi Lazar had said, that you have 10 revius and you have Rav Kahana's 2 simonim for them. Okay. The Gemara asks for Tuleka. You're telling me there's no other dinim daraisa or darabanan that involve a revius of liquid? Va'ika, what about you have a din mirevius neitlan leidayim la'echad? One person is able to wash his hands with a revius of water. Va'afilu l'shnayim, and even two people could wash their hands from the same water. So in other words, if one person filled up the kvot and put water in it and washed with it, so even if you have there's less than a revius, the second person can wash with that remaining water as long as it's enough to cover his hands. So that's another example involving a revius. Practically speaking, we don't do that because it's very hard to make sure that your hands are completely covered. And there is actually also, there's a shitta of the Me'iri that says that what it means is not that the first person left over the water, but rather that he's washing and then there's somebody else has his hands underneath the first ones, and therefore the water trickles down onto his hands. Mind you also, I mean, the Rambam points out this whole concept will only apply to Maim Shneim. Now, like this, you have this Maim Rish, when we wash, so our minhag is we wash three times each hand for eating bread. That's based on Hagoris Oshri, it's based on a note in the Rosh Techulin. Has to do with the fact that your hands might not be completely clean first, and therefore the first washing cleans them, and then the other two are matahar them. But basically, this is the technical halacha is you only need to wash them twice. And the idea is the first ones are matahar your hands, but then the water itself becomes tamei from touching your hands, and the second ones are matahar the first water. So the Rambam holds that this whole concept of a revius being enough would only be for mayim shniim, only for the second part of the washing, but not for mayim rishonim. There you need a revius for each person. Okay, you have different opinions about that and whether that's accepted lahalacha. In any case, back in the day, maybe, you know, when they had to draw water on their and then carry it on their back or whatever, they might have to be careful with that. Nowadays, that we have running water and we have plenty of it available, we use as much water as we can. Anyway, the point is there you have a din involving a revius of water. So why doesn't Rabbi Lazar have that in his list as well? The answer is because Rabbi Lazar is not dealing with things that are the subject of a machlokes. This that we're saying that a revius is enough for more than one person is actually you have the chachamim and you have Rabbi Yossi over there in the Mishnah and Yadayim. And only the Chachamim hold that. Rabbi Yossi does not hold of that. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi would say that everybody, that each individual needs a revius of water. So therefore, Rabbi Lazar is not dealing with that. By the way, before we said that we mentioned as far as revius yayin lanozer, and we said that's a machloikas in the Mishnah, Tosfos says it's one when we say that he's not dealing with things machloikas, he's talking about in the five white liquid ones. And the five red liquid ones, yes, he can be dealing with ones that are the subject of a machloikas. Okay, the Gemara says here's another one. Va'ika, what about you have one from Soita? Part of the Soita, of course, has to drink the bitter water that the Megillah has been erased into, as we'll learn in a couple of months about Hashem and Masech the Soita. So he needs water from the Kiyor. So the Mishnah says, Hoya mevi pioli shocheres. The Kohen would bring a fioli, which is a name of a container. In English, you have the word vial, is distantly related to that. Anyway, so he'd bring a container of earthenware. He would put it in a half a log of water from the kiyor. And Rabbi Yehuda says it wasn't a half a log, it was a quarter log. So then that's another revius. Again, the Gemara answers, but plukta le kamari. Again, Rabbi Lazar is not dealing when it comes to the ones involving the wine and the oil, the white liquids. He's not the pale liquids. He's not dealing with things involving machloikas. And since only Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's a revius, then he didn't want to mention that in his list. Okay, another one. The Gemara asks, Va'ika, what about here's another one involving a revius? Now, we know the din is, you're not allowed to daven in a place where there's human waste, urine or excrement, and also not from certain other kinds of animals if they smell bad. Anyway, so Braisa says, Kama mayim noisim l'secha. Suppose you have, there's a bucket of urine near you and you want to be able to daven. How much water do you need to put into it in order to be mevatel it so that then you can daven? Kol shehu, the Tanakama of the Braisa says that any amount is enough that you put into it, even a small amount, and that's considered that it's mevatel it. Rab Zakkai Omer Revius, and Rab Zakkai says that the amount is a revius. Again, the Gemara answers Plukta Leikamayri. So again, we're not dealing with cases involving the Machlokas. Why did the Gemara bring three different questions that all have the same answer? Sometimes what we have is that sometimes Mefoshim explain that these questions were asked in different Bate Medrash. When they learned the statement of Rabbi Lazar, each of them wondered why Rabbi Lazar didn't mention certain other ones, and each of them thought of a different one that he didn't mention, and all of them came up with the same answer. So now when Ravina and Ravashi put together the Gemara, then they put all of this like that. Okay. The Gemara asks, what about one more? Vayikam mikveh. What about the mikveh? Now, a mikveh, of course, has to be 40 sa. But The Gemara explains in Pesachim, Tosfos brings over here, that you can have a tiny little mikveh to dip into tiny little kelim. Imagine, for example, you have a needle that became tameh. A needle became tameh. You want to make a tahor. You have the Mishnah that we learn at the end of the perek for Yortzeit and for the 11 months, and in the perek yesh malos a mikveh. So you have at the end of there machat shin yisuna malos amoya hayamelach meivam amayim kiven shavar la'gal tahora. So there you're actually talking about where the wave that passed over it is actually connected to the mikveh and is part of the 40 saw. But we're saying now that at least on a Doraisa level, you don't need that. You can actually use a revius alone to tovel tiny kalim like that, like needles. So why aren't we mentioning that? The answer is bar-mi-ahi. Never mind that. Debatlua rabbon and the chachamim were mevatel that. Because then they were concerned that you might end up toveling larger kalim also in less than 40 sa, and therefore they made the rule that there's never such a thing as toveling in less than 40 sa. Even you want to tovel a needle, you have to tovel it in 40 sa, and that brings us to that Mishnah in Mikvos over there about Hoya Molech Omeva Mamayim. Again, it's a needle, you don't want it to get lost in the water, therefore you put it on the steps of the mikveh and you use your hands to make the water flow over it. And Kivin Shavar Alar Gal Tahara. But so yes, midoraisi you would have been able to use a revius, but midrabanan you can't, and therefore Rabbi Elazar doesn't mention it. Okay, so the bottom line is there are actually more than 10 dinim that involve a revius, but at least when it comes to the 5 that involve water or oil or other light colored liquids like that, you only have 5 that are not the subject of a machloikas, and therefore those are the only ones that Rabbi Elazar listed. We said in the mission of Enechayev Elad Sheyechem in Anovim Kezayis V'chola. We said that a Nazir is Chayev only if he eats a Kezayis of grapes. So, and then we had Mishnah Rishona had said that only if he drinks a Revius of wine. And Rabbi Akiva said that even if he soaked bread and wine and it altogether adds up to a Kezayis, he's Chayev. And again, we have the two different explanations of Tosfos, what's going on over here. The first explanation is that the Tanakama of the Mishnah, when he says a kezayis of grapes, he also means a kezayis of wine. Then comes the Mishnah Rishona that says that no, with both of them it's not a kezayis, with both of them it's a revius. And then we have Rabbi Akiva saying that that when it comes to drinking is a kezayis, which would be like the Mishnah Achrona. That's Tosfos' first explanation, and then Tosfos' second explanation is the Mishnah Rishona is just telling us about eating. They agree that drinking would be a revius. Then comes the Mishnah Rishona and says that no, eating and drinking are both a revius. And Rabbi Akiva says that no, eating that eating is a kezayis and drinking is a revius. Okay, so the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, what's the machlokas? Tanakama loy medami lahoin l'chol isurin nozir l'shsia. The Tanakama is we have the word loy over here in the Gemara, but Tosfos actually takes it out and says that the correct girsa would actually be, and the Rosh also takes it out, that it should be Tanakama medame lohoin l'chol isurin nozir l'shsia. The Tanakama is comparing all the isurim of nozir to drinking. So just like drinking is also by revius, because in general anything in Torah where it says to not drink, then it's a revius. So the same way over here, the eating would also be a revius. Rabbi Akiva, whereas Rabbi Akiva says that kivin dichtiv v'anovim lachem v'yveshim lo yoichal. Since after all, first the pasuk mentions that he can't drink wine or vinegar, and then it continues he can't eat fresh or dried grapes. So that means the pasuk is making a hekesh when you have the word va'anovim lachem v'yveshim lo yoichal, means ma achila b'kazayis af kol isurin b'kazayis. So the same way as eating is a kazayis, the same way the drinking would also be a kazayis. How do you measure a kazayis of drink anyway? So Tosfos explains that you take an olive, you put it into a full cup of wine, you see how much spills out, and that amount that spills out is the volume of a kazayis of wine. And then the point is that Rashi and Tosfos mentioned in other places you need to have to use wine for that purpose, because wine is thicker, it has a thicker consistency than water, so therefore it would take more, so therefore less of it would spill out than if you used water for that experiment. And again, according to Tosfos's second explanation, then we're saying over here that that we can still have the word loy in the Gemara after all. And they were saying the Tanakhama does not compare the all the Surin Nazir to Shesia. So he would say eating is a Kazayas, drinking is a Revius. And then you have the Mishnah Rishona and Rabbi Akiva disagreeing with that, and Rabbi Akiva in particular saying that we make them both a Kazayas. The Mishnah had said, "V'chayev al yain b'fnei atzmechola." We said that he's chayev for drinking wine all by itself, and for grapes all by themselves. Each thing if he eats a kazayas of them or drinks a revius of them, as the case may be, he's going to be chayev. So, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa. When the pasuk says "va'anovim lachem yiveshim lo yoichol," when it says you're not allowed to eat fresh grapes or dried grapes, now it already said grapes. So what? Why do we need to add the point that a person he can't eat fresh grapes and he can't eat dried grapes? It means v'chayev al zeh b'fnei atzmei, v'al zeh b'fnei atzmei. That's where we learn that a person is chayev for each one individually. So in other words, that when we say individually, what we mean is if he ate a kazayas of grapes and a kazayas of raisins, he would be getting two malchus. Because they're two different names, two different isurim, and therefore he'd be chayev separately for each one. And the Gemara and the Braisa continues, Mikanat Adon l'chol isurim shebat Torah. From here you can also learn for all other isurim in the Torah. So we would say that whenever we have two different isurim, then a person is chayev separately for each one. So you figure like this. Ma kan shu echad vehein shnei shemus. Even though over here, ma kan shu min echad vehein shnei shemus. Here it's all one min, grapes and raisins. After all, are the same min. They both come from grapes. And vehein shnei shemus, but there are two different headings of isur because there's two separate isurim. One not to eat grapes and one not to eat raisins. V'chayev al zeh b'fnei atzmei v'al zeh b'fnei atzmei. And a person is chayev malchus for each one individually. Af kol shu min echad vehein shnei shemus. The same way, any other case where you find one min which has two different names, as the Gemara is going to give an example, then chayev al zeh b'fnei atzmei, v'al zeh b'fnei atzmei, then he's going to be chayev for each one individually. What is an example of that? The Gemara says, le'isuri chamra chadti v'invi. For example, if a person were to drink new wine, which is to say grape juice, and eat grapes, even though they have the same taste and they both come from grapes, nevertheless, since each one is mentioned separately in the Torah, then he'd get separate lavin. He'd get separate malchus for them. Tosfos also points out that you could, without telling us that. I mean, the fact is each one is listed individually in the pasuk, but you might have thought that maybe when it says that he can't drink wine, maybe it means at least it has to be a couple of days since the grapes were pressed, and that way and then the wine has stopped bubbling as it does at the beginning of the fermentation. Only then can you say it's on its way to being wine. Maybe if it was freshly squeezed, it wouldn't be usur. Therefore, we need this mamatzinu over here that you're saying. Whenever you have two things that are the same min, but they have two different names to them, nevertheless he's chayev. So in this case, since the pasuk mentions that he can't drink wine, then that includes, even though this wine has exactly the same taste of grapes because it was just squeezed from them, nevertheless he'd be chayev separately for that. Okay, so now the Gemara gets into a discussion of how many malchus he's going to get for some of these things. Now in the pasuk, it mentions some of these things that it says that a nazir is not allowed to eat or drink, it mentions them separately. For example, it mentions separately that he can't eat that he can't drink wine and that he can't eat grapes. So it says a separate loy on each one of those. So obviously, each one of them counts as a separate lav. What about, for example, so now in the pasuk it mentions it says mechartzanim vaad zog lo yoichol. He's not allowed to eat from chartzanim until zog, meaning both of them. So what does that mean? Is that one lav covering the two of them, or do we consider it to be separate lavim? So now we're going to have a machlokas about that. You have a similar machlokas in a few other places in Shas about similar kinds of things. For example, by the Korban Pesach, you have something similar that where the Torah says by the Korban Pesach, al toich lemenu no voshem uvoshem b'moyim. Don't eat it raw or cooked in water. So the same kind of thing. So if you eat the Korban Pesach raw and cooked in water, let's say kazayas of each one, is he chayav malchus separately for each one, or maybe he's not only chayav one malchus and so forth. So that's the Gemara is going to get into that. So, Amar Abaya. Ocho chartzan. If the Nazir ate grape seeds, like a shtayim, then he's getting two malchus, for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain in a second. Ocho zog, and if he eats zog, which, okay, we added machlokas in the Mishnah, what chartzanim and zog are, but let's go with Rav Yossi's definition, which is accepted lahalacha, that chartzanim are the seeds and zog is the peel. We had in the Mishnah that the Tanakhama had said that chartzanim is the peel and zagim is the seeds, and that was Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi said the other way around, and here's a way to remember it: think of a bell. So the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, so let's use that definition anyway. So Abaya says if he would eat grape seeds, he'd be chayav too, for reasons that it's going to explain in a second. If he eats zog, if he eats the peels, loike shtayim, he's also going to get two malchus. The ocho chartzen v'zog like a shalish, and if he eats chartzen and zog, then he's going to get three malchus. So now you have what it is like this. Why is Abaya saying that each one has an extra one? So you have like this. There's the isser and the Torah not to eat chartzanim, the isser not to eat zog. Abaya considers those to be separate lavim, and then in addition, you also have the pasuk says anything that comes from the grapevine he's not allowed to eat. So when he ate grape seeds, he's over on that, as well as the specific one about seeds. Therefore, he's chayv two malchus, one for the seeds and one in general that he ate megefen ayayin. Same thing if he eats the grape peels, same thing. And if he eats both of them, then he's chayav three, one for the seeds, one for the peels, and one for the combination of them. One because both of those are migefen ayayin. So therefore, three altogether. Rava disagrees and says, no, ein eloika ela achas. If he eats either one of them, he's only ever getting one malchus. He's not getting malchus for mikola sheyosim migefen ayayin, She'ena loika a lav shebeklolus, because Rava says he's not getting malchus for a lav shebeklolus. You have a lav shebeklolus is when you have a lav that includes many different things. So therefore, here it includes all the different things that come from the grapevine. Therefore, he's not. Therefore, Rava holds that he's not chayav malchus for it. In general, that's that concept that Rava mentions in other places in Shas, that he holds a person doesn't get malchus for lav shebeklolus. So the Gemara says, Masiv Rapapa. So Rapapa has a contradiction on Abaya. A Braisa says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Nazir Shoyse Yayin Kolayim. If a Nazir was drinking wine all day, Ein Chayev Alachas, then he's Chayev only for one Malkus. Because why that is, there's a couple of different opinions. Rashi elsewhere explains that because the Hasra has to be Tochid Adibur, and he could claim that the later drinking was already after that, and he's already forgotten the Hasra. And then the Ri explains, because since all of it is under the same Isser, so it's all considered one Aveda, even though he drank it at separate times. But then the Braisa continues, Omru loy al tishta al tishta. If they told him before each revius, don't drink, then vahu shoyse, and he's still drinking. Chayev al kolachas vachas, then he's chayev individually for each revius, because then we don't say they all combine together. Then according to Rashi, he can't say he forgot the asura. And according to everybody else, according to the Ri, the point is because now the hasra makes each one to be a separate unit. Continues the Braisa. Ochal anovim lachem v'yaveshim chartzanim v'zagim v'sochat eshkol shel anovim. If a person ate fresh grapes and dried grapes and seeds and peels, and he squeezed out a cluster of grapes and drank the grape juice, loike chomish. So he gets five malchus, the Braisa is saying, because he has fresh grapes, dried grapes, because eyes of each, fresh grapes, dried grapes, seeds, peels, and drank wine. Each of them is a separate issue. So now Rapapa says to Abaye, Ihochi, according to what you're saying, that he should also get malchus for being over on Mikol Asher Yosim, Gefen Ayayin, the general lav that includes everything that comes out of the grapevine, Lukas Sheish, that he should be getting six malchus, because he has the five, Achas al Mikol Asher Yosim, because you'd have the one more from Mikol Asher Yosim. The one answer is Tana v'Shayer. Okay, you could say that the Tana left out something. The Tana doesn't always, when the Tana mentions a list of things, not always is he listing everything. Sometimes he leaves out some things. But the Gemara asks, as it always does, my shire to high shire. In that case, then what else did the Tana leave out? If the Tana leaves out only one thing, then it means he had a deliberate reason for it. If he left out two or more, fine, you could say he didn't bother giving the whole list. So what else would we say that he left out? The answer is Shayu lo yachol dvarei. The Tana has also left out the fact that the Torah says in general by Nedarim that a person is not allowed to transgress his word. Well then, he took on Nezirus, which is his word. He made a Nedar of Nezirus. So now, if he's breaking it, then he's over on that as well. So therefore, you could say that the Tana would really mean that he'd actually be chayiv 7 malchus, but fine, he mentioned 5 because the Tana didn't bother listing the last two. Okay, but the Gemara says that's not a proof. If you're going to tell me it's because of that, that's not considered a shiur. The fact that he left out lo yachol dvarei is not considered something that he left out, that therefore you could say that now he left out something else as well. Because you could say, kikatoni milsel midi dula isa beduchta achridi. You could say that Tana is listing only isurim that you never find anywhere else. No one other than a nazir is going to be getting malchus for drinking wine. Nobody other than a nazir is going to be getting malchus for eating grapes and so forth. Unless, of course, he made a specific neder on that, but that's, we don't mean that. Lo yachol dvarei isim in nedarim, but lo yachol dvarei, you have in general by nedarim, that that you can have, that in general, all nedarim are subject to lo yachol dvarei. So the Gemara is trying to, in other words, so therefore, that braisa then would be not only contradicting Abaye, it's supporting Rava, that there's no malchus for the lav shebeklalos, therefore fine, it's not, so therefore there's only one, at most you could say there's only one, so therefore you could say the Tana is not leaving out anything. He didn't leave out lo yachol dvarei because that's general to Nedarim, not specific to Nezirus. He didn't leave out mekol hashayasim gefen hayayin, because in fact that's not something he gets malchus for, like Rava would say. So if we learn the braisa that way, then we can then it seems to support what Rava is saying. But the Gemara continues. Amalei Ravina meparzikya the Ravashi. Vaha shir de beina beinayim. What about though? The Tana seems to have left out yet another one. That you have beina beinayim, which we learned the other day. We had two explanations in Tosfos what beina beinayim meant. The first one was that it meant the smaller grapes that grow between, stuck between the larger ones and never become fully ripe. And we said that a person is chayiv malchus for those as well, because we said mechartzanim va'ad zog, from chartzanim to zog. So it included those as well. So in that case, the Tana seems to have left out that. So in that case, then you do have something that the Tana left out. Now, Tosfos points out, we did learn in a few days ago that another meaning of beina beinayim means the actual flesh of the grape, the part literally between the peel and the seeds. So according to that, Tosfos asks, well, then he is eating them already. So the Tana hasn't left out anything. The answer is, Tosfos says that no, the chiyuv of eating a kezias of grapes would be where he eats them in the normal way. You eat a whole grape. It's not normal to mash up the flesh of the grape to make like grape jelly out of it or something and eat it that way. It's not a normal way of doing it. So therefore you could call that a different lav, and you could say the Tana left it out. So you could argue that the Tana left that out also. And in that case, then you're back to the question, well, Tana doesn't leave out only one thing. So now, in fact, Rabbi Akiva Eger asks in Gilyan Ashas, well, then the other way around, the whole reason we wanted to say before that the Tana is not mentioning lo yachol dvarei is because we wanted to find, let the Tana be leaving out two things in order to make the braisa work according to Abaya. So we tried to say that he's leaving out two things, and one of them is lo yachol dvarei, and we shot that down because we said, on the contrary, the braisa seems to be better according to Rava, that he's not listing lo yachol because not exclusive to Nezirus, and therefore we'd have to say if we'd have to say he left out only one, and that would, he doesn't leave out only one, and that would support Rava. So Rabbi Akiva Eger asks, Gilyan Ashas, well then, on the contrary, why don't we say, so you're asking from this on Rava, so let Rava answer very simply, okay, the Tana also left out lo yachol. It's not unique to Nazir, fine, the Tana could have listed it anyway, and yet he didn't, so there you have two things he left out. So he leaves that as a question, he leaves that as tzorchiyun. There's an explanation from Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz that explains that the question is really on both of them. According to Abaya, if he left out lo yachol, so then he holds the Tana left out lo yachol, so then means that the Tana didn't leave out anything else. So uh, But we don't do that. A Tana doesn't leave out only one thing. And according to Rava, the question is that if he holds that that lo yachal is not considered left out because it's not relevant anyway, then therefore it means that there's nothing else left out. So the question really, so he explains that the question is really on both of them. Anyway, so that's the question. So Ella Amar Papa. So rather, because of that, so the Gemara says you're right. So the Papa says Loi Tanya Midi Chomish. In fact, the Tana did not teach the word five Malkius at all. All the Tana said, the original Braisa just said that he's Loika, that he gets Malkus. So now, according to Abaya, you could say that. So now, Rava and Abaya can be disagreeing how many Malkus. So you could say that Abaya would learn that there were six, and Rava would learn that there were five. So you could learn it either way. So what do you mean? The Gemara says, "Vaha ois vechomish." What do you mean, though? When Rapapa himself asked on this brisa from this brisa on Abaya, he himself asked. The brisa says five. Well, the brisa itself didn't say five. My time oisve. Then why did he even ask the question on Abaya if he knew to begin with that the brisa doesn't mention a number? So the answer is Amar Rapapa an no savri lav Gemara hi biyade. So what it is Rapapa says the reason why I asked that question, I myself added the number to the Braisa. I thought that what Abaya is saying that he gets that how many malchus he gets is not something that he learned from his rebbeim. I thought it's just his own svara. So therefore v'hoder bay. So I thought if I quote him the brisa inaccurately, then he's going to v'hoder bay. Then he'll change his mind. V'loya dinah d'gemar. So because he'll say that then in that case the brisa that you quoted, which as far as Abaya knows is going to be a genuine brisa with those words, is going to contradict him. It turns out in the end, Rapapa says v'loya dinah d'gemarahu d'gemar. I didn't know that this is actually something that Abaya learned the Kabbalah from his Rebbeim, and Veloy Hodrebeim, therefore he wasn't going to change his mind, he was going to be doichik to say his Rebbeim must have known of that Braisa, and they still said what they said, so therefore he's going to be doichik that. So now Rapapa says, the truth is that they never said five in the Braisa to begin with, and the only reason that I mentioned that five was because I thought that this was just Abaya's independent Svara, and therefore he might change his mind. But now we see, in other words, since in fact Abaya learned this from his Rebbeim, then therefore he wasn't going to change his mind no matter what. He was going to do everything possible to be doichik and say that the Braisa maybe is saying something that it would not usually say, like leaving out things or whatever, just in order not to contradict his Rebbeim, because that it goes to show the kind of bittul that a Talmud should have for what his Rebbeim taught, that no matter what, he's going to make every effort to uphold what they say rather than to say that they were wrong. Okay. The Gemara finishes off Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omechola, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had said that he's only chayiv if he eats shnei chatzanim v'zog, and then the Mishnah went on with the definitions according to Rabbi Yehuda and according to Rabbi Yosi of what chatzanim and zog are. Amar Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef points out, k'man metageminan miportzonin v'aditzurin, which of these tanoim does it follow? This that it says in Targum Onkelos, which translates the word mechatzanim v'adzog, it translates it miportzonim, which means from the seeds, v'aditzurin, to the itzurin, which the word putsonim is in fact the Aramaic word for seeds. Itzurin then would be itzurin literally means the squeezings. So it means, you know, what do you squeeze? You don't squeeze the seeds; they're too hard to squeeze. You squeeze the peel. So that would be Rabbi Yosi. That would be according to Rabbi Yosi's definition of chartzanim and zog. According to Rabbi Yehuda's definition, the words in Aramaic would have to be the other way around. Okay. Yeah.